Forgiveness is it's one of those themes that piques our inner emotions. We are all witnesses of many crimes against humanity, offenses against our loved ones, and breaches of trust in our own relationships. And we are deeply troubled by the absence of resolution to these issues. And usually that's marked by the absence of apologies and forgiveness. And thus, throughout Scripture, the theme of forgiveness finds its way in the story of God and in the stories of those who claim to follow God. There is a reason that we don't like being hurt by others. It hurts. And there are many reasons that seeking forgiveness and offering forgiveness is just difficult. Accordingly, the Scriptures are repetitive in its invitation for us to receive the forgiveness of God. We talked about that last week. And it's repetitive in its call for followers of God to forgive others. And this is the place we find ourselves this morning. We are trying to find our place under the covering of God's forgiveness so that we can understand forgiving others and seeking forgiveness from others. And so let's start again this morning by spending some time in Scripture. Let's read Romans chapter 7, starting at verse number 14. Romans chapter 7, starting at verse number 14, Paul writing to some Christians in Rome. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am of the flesh, sold into slavery under sin. I do not understand my own actions, for I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate. Now, if I do what I do not want, I agree with that the law is good. But in fact, it is no longer I that do it, but sin that dwells within me, for I know that nothing good dwells within me, that is, in my flesh. I can will what is right, but I cannot do it, for I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I do. Now, if I do what I do not want, it is no longer I that do it, but sin that dwells in me. So I find it to be a law that when I want to do what is good, evil lies close at hand. For I delight in the law of God in my inmost self, but I see in my members another law at war within war within the law of my mind, making me captive to the law of sin that dwells in my members. Wretched man that I am, who will rescue me from this body of death? This text is both powerful and haunting. Here is a text written nearly 2,000 years ago. There was none of the modern conveniences that we enjoy today. There were no radios, no televisions. There was no internet. None of the modern joys of technology and convenience that we have. They didn't have that back then. Yet Paul describes a tension that he lives in that is ripping him emotionally and spiritually as he deals with this thing called sin. Often what we would describe has been increased because of these modern conveniences and things that we have in 2024. But here, 2,000 years ago, Paul is sharing thoughts that I think many of us wrestle with ourselves. How many of us often find it a struggle to do the right thing. It's an age-old battle, a war between right and good. I first came to grips with this understanding as a kid watching cartoons, and there were all these cartoons that would depict a character, a fan, I don't know, Bugs Bunny, Daffy Duck, and on one shoulder there was the angel for good, right? And then on the other shoulder was the bad angel, right? You know what I'm talking about? You know, you had the pitchfork guy on the one shoulder, like trying to urge the person to do the bad thing, but then you had the angel on the other shoulder trying to urge the person to do the good thing. That might be cartoons, but that's real life, y'all. You're on a diet, and you are doing very well while you are on your diet, and somebody puts this in front of you. There is the devil on the one side saying, listen, it's healthy. Don't you see all that fruit? It's cheese. Cheese and fruit is healthy. Go ahead, eat it, because the devil uses deception, right? But you have the angel on the other. You don't need that. Go eat your kale salad with roasted pecans. But there's always that fight that we have, whether it's with food, whether it's with what the right thing is to say. Those of you who are on social media and Facebook, you're faced with this every time you read something on social media that upsets you. There's the angel on this one side that's saying, listen, be kind in your response or don't respond at all. But then there's that evil on the side that says, get them. You know the exact words to say to get them and make them look like a fool. We fight this battle all the time. The image of these competing voices was communicated to early Christians in very early literature. In a letter written by an early Christian in the middle second century, around 150 A.D., it was a letter written called The Shepherd of Hermas. He writes this to the early Christians. This book actually almost made our New Testament. So keep that in mind as you hear these words that he wrote to the early church. He says, now I am going to tell you about faith. There are two angels who accompany man. The angel of justice, or in some translations, righteousness. The angel of justice and the angel of wickedness. But how am I to know their operations, I said, if both are dwelling within me? He then goes on to describe how you can identify the angels. He says, the angel of justice is sensitive, modest, gentle, and calm. So when this angel comes into your heart, he will immediately converse with you about justice or righteousness, purity, holiness, self-control, every just work and glorious virtue. But here's what he says about the angel of wickedness. First of all, he has a violent temper, bitter and silly. His deeds are evil, the undoing of the servants of God. So when he enters your heart, know him from his deeds. And then he would go on to write and say things like, if you find yourself doing justice and doing good and being calm, that's probably the angel of justice or righteousness speaking to you. But if you find yourself carrying away with silliness and sin and debauchery and bad things, that's probably the angel of wickedness speaking to you. But hear this. The writer says both of them exist. They both exist even within. This is the war that plays out in our lives in more serious ways than eating a cheesecake on a diet. Every day we find ourselves at war within ourselves, fighting to listen to the competing voices. And to this, Paul writes of our struggle. He writes of his own struggle and speaking probably to our struggle. There is this sin that lives in me, he says. This flesh is corrupt. Paul realizes that we are made up of flesh and spirit, but he says the flesh is that which which splurges on the bad things in life, while the spirit is that which dines on the good part of life. Flesh and spirit, though, they coexist within us, and there is a war going on. And for Paul, what he sees is the prospect of a losing war. When he says in Romans chapter 7, verse 24, this is some of the most poetic, powerful, and meaningful words written in Scripture. Wretched man that I am, or some of your verses says, oh, wretched man that I am, who will rescue me from this body of death? In the Message translation, Romans 7:24 says, I've tried everything and nothing helps. I'm at the end of my rope. Is there no one who can do anything for me? Isn't that the real question? And what we are posed with and what he is saying there, it's bad news. I am a wretched man. I am a wretched woman, if you're a woman. I'm in a bad, bad place. That's bad news. Here is the problem that I see as it relates to our theme of forgiveness. What Paul explains here, we might call guilt, shame. Guilt and shame grabs us, it holds us, and makes us think that release is not possible. After preaching the sermon last week, someone came to me and shared with me about an incident that happened in their life some years ago. And they shared that they are having issues of letting go, or better said, that issue won't let them go. They're having an issue, and these are their words, they're having an issue forgiving themselves for what they did. Anyone here ever feel gripped by something that they've done in the past? You might have done it out of ignorance, but you just can't get it out of your heart. You can't get it out of your mind. You can't let it go. It won't let you go. It was some sin that you committed. It was some hurtful word you offered to someone. It was divorce. It was adultery. It was slander. It was stealing something. It was something you did that, strangely, you are able to accept that God forgave you, but you can't forgive yourself. Something that the other person that you did the wrong to, they forgave you, but you can't forgive yourself. I've heard countless stories of folks who did something really, really bad. And no matter if they are forgiven for what they've done, they just can't seem to let themselves off the hook. There's a movie in the middle 80s. I know John Hess would be familiar with this movie. Anyone here ever see the movie called The Mission, starring Robert De Niro? Just in terms of a film, it's a beautifully shot film, just the cinematography, the writing, just a wonderful, wonderful movie. The story is about a priest, a Jesuit priest, who is in South America going to share the message of the gospel with some natives there. And in the story, as it unfolds, he meets a guy who is a slave trader. And in time, this slave trader comes to grips with the evil of slavery, and he wants to be forgiven of slavery, of slave trading, and he wants to, in the Catholic tradition, he wants to show penance. And so asks, what can I do to make up or to show that I am sorry? What can I do as an outward expression that I am sorry for all the pain that I've caused all the folks that I have introduced to slavery and such? And so they come up with this idea that he's going to strap a rope to a bag full of weapons and rocks, and it's just this real heavy deal, and they're traveling through the land there, and he says, "Your penance is you're gonna for a time you're gonna carry this bag everywhere we go." And this thing was heavy. This wasn't like grocery bags. You know, some of us can put like 45 grocery bags in our hands and carry. Now this isn't that. This is something that was a heavy, heavy, heavy burden. And so this extended scene shows Robert De Niro's character just dragging this bag through mud and through the ground, and the bag sometimes would break, and then, you know, it was just making it tougher for him to pull. And at one point he's having such a hard time, and you just see it on his face, and he's muddy and he's dirty and he's sweating and his hair is just, oh, he's having a hard time. And one of the Jesuit priests comes up to him and says, "You know what, this is enough. You've done enough." And he cuts the bag and frees him of that. But he would not have it. He repaired that rope and he continued to drag that bag. And again, this extended scene, you just see this man just, they're going up this mountain and he's just trying to carry this bag. And so then it comes to this point where he's seemingly, I guess this might be the end, I don't know, but one of the natives that have been impacted by this man's work and his evil with slavery comes up to him with a knife, and he puts the knife at his throat as if to say, "I'm going to get my retribution right now." But then he takes the knife, he cuts the rope to the bag, and then finally the character feels free from the burden of the sin that he carried. And maybe that's how life works, is that you do all this stuff, and until the people you hurt fully forgive you, that's when you're free. I'm not sure that's the issue. I do know that there was a moment while he was pulling this bag that someone did release him of it, and he would not accept it. In a lot of places in our life, that's where we are. The person forgave us, but we won't forgive ourselves. The person says, "Listen, the debt is paid," but we won't forgive ourselves. Why is it that we are so intent on self-mutilation and self-torture that we won't forgive ourselves? It's always stood out to me the depths we go through to beat ourselves up for the things that we've done. I am certain that part of this self-scourging is a sincere gesture of regret, sorrow, a desire to communicate our wrongdoing. We have done some despicable things, and we want to do our very best to show people that we are indeed sorry. But another part of the torture is a result of never being able to forgive ourselves for the things that we've done, even if God and others have forgiven us. Put it simply, we don't have the emotional or spiritual funds to pay the debt. And even if the debt is forgiven, our guilt keeps us stuck and we can't move forward. And so Paul says, "I've tried everything and nothing helps. I'm at the end of my rope. Is there no one who can do anything for me?" Isn't that the real question? "Wretched man that I am, who will rescue me from this body of death?" That's the bad news. That's the predicament. But then, riddled with guilt and shame, we encounter this good news. Verse number 25. "Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with my mind I am a slave to the law of God, but with my flesh I am a slave to the law of sin. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus," I want y'all to read this with me. Say it full-throated. "Has set you free from the law of sin and of death." I'm a wretched man. There is nothing I can do. But thanks be to God that through Jesus Christ, there is no condemnation. And Christ has set us free from the law of sin and death. The Spirit of Christ has set us free from sin, from guilt, and from shame. The Spirit of Christ has released us from the past. The Spirit of Christ freed us from holding ourselves to self-injury because we won't forgive ourselves. Jesus said, "So if the Son sets you free, you are free indeed." Being set free doesn't mean that we are relieved of paying restitution or experiencing consequence. In some cases, we need to go to the extra lengths to repair that which was broken. But when it comes to our lives, there is nothing that can save us from ourselves except the saving, loving, healing grace of Jesus Christ. To the Galatian church, Paul wrote these words, chapter 5, verse number 1. "It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery." And yes, Paul there was talking about being held to some standards in the law. That was an issue going on in Galatians. But the idea of freedom, the theme of freedom, spans across a lot of issues. Dropping down to verse number 13, you, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command, love your neighbor as yourself. There is no need for self-condemnation because in Christ Jesus, there is no condemnation. Forgiving ourselves in the name of Jesus is greater than our guilt, greater than our shame, and greater than the war that we wage every day as we wrestle with good and evil. And we're going to talk about forgiving others and asking for forgiveness from others. But now, right now, this very moment, as we bask in the forgiveness of God, let's forgive ourselves. Let's forgive ourselves. Let's forgive ourselves. Forgive ourselves. We talked last week about the forgiveness of God, and we talked about God casting our sins as far as the east is from the west. Let's bask in that. We have license in God's forgiveness. Forgive ourselves. And trust me, it will always be a struggle to forgive others or to ask for forgiveness if we don't first forgive ourselves. So I don't know what you did in the past that making you think that you need to carry a 800-pound bag around the world to prove that you're sorry, and it's never, I don't know what that thing, I don't know what the word you said, I don't know what the action you committed. Forgive yourselves. Pray to God right now to release you from yourself so that you can move forward in the healing grace of God. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you today with hearts open and longing for your healing grace. We acknowledge the pain, burdens, and regrets from our past that have weighed us down, and we ask you to release us from their hold. Lord, you are the God who heals and restores. Place our trust in you. Grant us the grace to let go of what has been, to stop carrying the guilt and shame of yesterday, Help us to forgive ourselves and others as you have forgiven us. Fill us with your peace, Lord, that surpasses all understanding, and remind us that we are made new in you. Guide us to move forward, trusting in your perfect plan for our future. Heal the wounds in our hearts, renew our minds, and restore our joy. Let your love cover every broken place. And may we walk in the freedom that comes through your mercy. We thank you for your endless grace. And we trust that as we surrender our past to you, you will lead us into the fullness of life you have promised. Help us to live in the presence with hope and confidence, knowing that you are with us. In Jesus' name, amen. What we prayed, we will now sing, that God will release us from the past and bless us with his healing grace. If you find yourself right now stuck, carrying a heavy bag of burden that represent a lack of forgiving of yourself, we pray that as we sing, or hopefully at the conclusion of that prayer, that you have released that and given that to God. Remember, we did several months ago, weeks ago, palms down, palms up. This is a palms down moment. Release all that stuff. Release all that stuff that you won't forgive yourself. Release it. And then turn your palms up and receive the healing grace of God. If there's any way that we can be helpful to you through prayer, conversation, company, you want to give your life to Jesus today, because today you're saying, you know what's gotten in the way of me giving my life to Jesus? I can't forgive myself for what I did back then, but today I'm releasing that. And I want to receive the grace of God, confessing my commitment and faith, being baptized, being buried and united with him, being resurrected into a new creature. Let's stand. Let's sing. If we can help you, come forward. Come forward. Let's release some stuff right now.